Okay, so we'll start again. Just remind y'all, go through the stuff, and then afterwards, because of the video, because of what we're recording, makes it easier. So tonight we look at chapter 17. Chapter 17, of course, last week we looked at the seven bowls of judgment, God's wrath. And so in 17 verses 1 through 18, we see the attention seems to turn to Babylon, at least in this particular side, is probably the religious side of Babylon. And when we think about Babylon, Nimrod was the one that established Babylon in Genesis 10, 8 through 11. Also, there's a... As we go through the text here tonight, you'll notice and may have already noticed the marvel and the mystery. Those seem to be two words that come out. notice that the woman is Babylon is actually described as a woman. She's called a harlot or a prostitute, depending on which translation you're reading, and her sin is fornication. And so, basically, in the first six verses, John gives us a description of Babylon and then explains the meaning in verses 7 through 18. So I think we're on pretty safe footing to say that this is Babylon. Just by way of question, if you got one quick, if you can answer this, does anybody know where Babylon is today? Iraq. Yeah, that's right. It would be modern-day Iraq. So... Okay, in verses 1 and 2, one of the seven angels invites John to witness the punishment. And I think I've already established that many scholars believe this is the religious side. Chapter 18 is the political side of Babylon. So one of the seven angels invites John to witness the punishment of a great prostitute. And in verses 1 and 2, we read, then one of the seven angels who had... the seven bowls, and of course that was with the judgments last time, said to me, come, and I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. So many scholars believe, and I kind of maybe tend to agree with them, that the prostitution probably is a symbolic of religion. The many waters, of course, this is interpreted later in this very chapter, refers to peoples, nations, and language. So it probably would tend to maybe agree that this is a universal religion. And it confirms that this is also what the kings or the leaders of the earth at that time. So now in verses 3 through 5, John is carried off or carried to the wilderness. Notice in verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit. There's debates here whether John physically went or spiritually went. If I had to choose between the two, I would say spiritually, simply because he was carried away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names. And it had seven heads and ten horns. And verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup of abominations and impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her face, or on her forehead, was written the name Mysterious, or Mystery. Of course, I mentioned that already, that mystery and marvel would be two words that are key. Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes of the earth, of earth's abominations. One thing very clearly stands out is this world religion thinks that she is in control. The seven heads, some scholars view this as a future Roman Empire. Ten kings, one scholar said it was the ten United States of Europe, or the United States of Europe, which would be a number 10. She's described as wearing purple and scarlet. And normally that is a reference to true message, but this is in a sense a false message. Confirms that it's a false religion in the latter part because she has a cup full of abominations and impurities. And it's further identified as a false religion because of the words that were written on her head, on her forehead. Now, if you go back and you look at Babylon, in Genesis 10 and 11, you find that the Tower of Babel comes out of that, and the Hebrew word for Babylon is the gate of God. And so here you have this John being carried up, being able to identify or at least look at Babylon, and she's a woman that is anything but God. It's godless. And if you think about the Tower of Babel, and you go back in Genesis 10 and 11, it would stand to reason that a false religion would come out of Babylon, or what is today modern Iraq. And so, as most scholars agree, and I would kind of occur with them that or concur with them, that Babylon or Iraq will send forth some type of false religion. And then in verse 6, this is an interesting verse, by the way. And I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And you look at this, some believe this is going to be the half of the last 7 years. The blood of the martyrs, really, you would think this woman would be beautiful because of the prostitution and the sexual immorality that is attached to it. But in actuality, it's horrific. Because it will wage war and it kills God's people. Actually becomes drunk on God's people. I know that's metaphoric language, obviously, but and notice John's reaction to this. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. And John has this aha moment when he sees this great prostitute, if you want to call it that, this false religion that will somehow take over the world, at least from what it seems here. And then in verses 7 and 8, the angel explains the woman and the beast. And of course, I would happen to bring my small print in here, so bear with me as I read this. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery," and there's that word mystery again, "of the woman and of the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns that carries her." I got the sense as I was looking through this, I got the sense that she thinks she's in control. But she's really not. She's really not in control. The beast, notice the beast in verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. So we go down later and we see the same image being portrayed again. This beast comes from the abyss. So obviously this woman is actually getting her power from the beast rather than she thinks she's in control riding the beast, but in actuality, Satan is actually behind this. And notice this phrase, "it was and is not and is to come." That's mockery of God. You know God is who was and is to come. So it is a counter-religion. It is a false religion. It is a religion that mocks God. It is a religion that will kill the Lamb of God's people who will become drunk with the blood. And so this is an image, anything but God. It'll also, and I didn't pick up on this until one commentary that I read. Notice in verse 8 it says, "And it is about to rise." there will probably be, and I kind of tend to agree with this scholar, that it will mock a resurrection. That there will be some type of resurrection that will come from this and be a counterfeit religion. Notice in verses 9 through 11, we have a shift now. The angel tells John that wisdom is needed. I went back. I know you guys don't know this, but there was a man named Victorinus way back who wrote the first commentary. And let's go ahead and read verses 9. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. Okay, so this man that wrote one of the first commentaries on Revelation, his name is Victorinus, he believed that the seven, let me go back and look at this in verse 9. Seven mountains, he took that literally to be Rome. And Rome at that time was called the city with seven hills. And so he believed that to be the capital of the coming Roman Empire. And that's an interesting take, and particularly when you get down to verse 10. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen, and one is, and the other is yet to come. And when he does come, he must remain only for a little while. So in my studies, this five kings that have already come could represent Egypt. We know that's already fallen. Assyria, that has already fallen. Babylon, the problem is that was, and who is to come, is not yet, but is to come, would fit well with this scheme that this Babylon would be the point of this resurrection of a new false religion. There's also Persia. We know from the book of Daniel that the Persian Empire, at least when I went through it, and then the fifth one is Greece. So those five prominent kings are falling. One scholar said that they would have, at least during John's time, they would have understood Domitian, who was on the throne, they would have understood that it was associated with the harlot. At least that's what some of these scholars believe. But at any point, in verse 11, as for the beast who was and is not, in other words, Babylon at John's time was not the seat of political power, who was and is not, it is an eighth, and it belongs to the seven. It goes to destruction. So here you have this this king is going to be part of the new Roman Empire or the final ruler. But there is a setup going on here, at least as I've gone through it. And notice in verses 12 through 14, we go through 12 through 14, and then the ten horns that you saw are the ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive royal authorities, as kings for 1 hour, together with the beast. So some see this ten horns, I haven't really made up my mind yet, some see the ten horns as the Middle East. That this somehow that these ten horns will be actually the rulers of the Middle East. And of course, if you hook Babylon to it, you understand that Iraq is part of that Middle East scene, and that's probably where they're going on that. And then in verse 15, the angel explains there will be one world religion. But let's back up. I kind of want to go back through verse 13 again. These are one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. The beast is the one that the woman thought she had control over. But the beast is, in fact, the one who will receive the will receive this power. And Babylon or Iraq thinks that they are in control when in actuality Satan is in control. And so they will make war on the Lamb. That means they will make war on Christ, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And then notice in verse 15, the angel explains that there will be one world religion. The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are the people and the multitudes and the nations and the language. So John is, at least as I interpret this or understand this particular aspect of it, that this is going to be a one world religion. It's not going to be just isolated pockets, that this is actually going to be a world religion which is perverted, which is anti-God, which hates Christians, which somehow becomes drunk, I think that's metaphoric, becomes drunk on the death of the saints. In other words, it's a big party. And so to believe that during this period Christianity is going to have a huge influence is maybe to a point misleading or misunderstanding, that actually Christianity is going to be in the crosshairs of this religion, which I think would mock a fake resurrection and people flock to it, of course. Anyway, finally, this woman is going to be destroyed, and the woman obviously is referenced to Babylon. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. This false religion thinks that it's really in control of the beast, but in actuality, the beast is going to turn on it. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. Notice this. This is, the good news is we start thinking about what a downer this is, but notice, for God has put it in their hearts to carry out his purpose by being one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. God is in charge. No matter what happens down the road, God is ultimately, when we look at all these things and we get troubled in the Middle East, we have to remember that God is in control. It's not out. He hasn't left. He hadn't gone to the refrigerator, taken a snack, and oh my gosh, this has happened. God is still in control. He's still on the throne, and he actually uses, whether these kings are from the Middle East or not, he uses whoever it is, and they will overthrow this, and the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings on the earth. So as we go through this chapter, we can't lose sight of the fact that no matter what happens in the end times, no matter what the situation is, God is still in control, and we can trust that. And I think next chapter 18 is next time. It's 24 verses